So far, the 2020 draft class has been a big disappointment for the Jets. But as these players enter year three in the NFL, what can the Jets reasonably expect from them in 2022? We'll discuss on today's episode of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Friday, May 20th, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thank you so much for making this show your first listen or your first watch every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Big shout out to subscribers to this podcast, and to join that group, just hit the subscribe button wherever you're watching or listening, and you'll never miss an episode. And if you happen to be watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. Helps the channel out, and it helps other Jets fans find Locked On Jets. Programming note, next week is likely to be the final week heading into the summer where we do episodes daily, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week. We will continue to have episodes as we lead up to training camp, but they will probably be more sporadic after next week. Next week, we're still Monday to Friday. After that, probably go into the summer schedule where we do it a couple episodes a week. And then once training camp begins, we'll be back into the normal schedule of 5 days a week. So I just wanted to give you that little programming note. Now, yesterday we talked about the second-year players for the Jets, the 2021 draft picks, and how important this season is for them. And that got me thinking, how about the guys who were drafted a year earlier? Last year, the 2020 draft class was entering year two. There were big expectations for these players. And unfortunately, I think you'd have to say, for the most part, they did not live up to those expectations, with one exception, and that one exception's heading to the bench this year, probably. So, at this point in time, you'd have to say the 2020 draft class looks like a disappointment. It was Joe Douglas's first draft class as Jets general manager. There was lots of excitement around it, and it just has not worked out so far. So today we're going to discuss what reasonable expectations are for the players the Jets drafted in 2020 as they enter year three. How many of these players can rebound from disappointing beginnings to their career? Can we hope that there's some sort of way to salvage this draft class? We'll discuss all of this. And we'll begin with the guy who was the first player the Jets drafted, Joe Douglas' first draft pick as Jets general manager, and that's Mekhi Becton. And I think that kind of set the tone for Joe Douglas' draft tenure with the Jets, because Becton was kind of like a swing-for-the-fences pick. I think even at the time, the consensus, and you know, the consensus is not always right, but I think in this case, the consensus was right. The safe pick would have been Tristan Wirfs. And of course, Wirfs ended up going to Tampa Bay, ended up being an all-pro, off to a tremendous beginning to his career. Becton was the guy. He just had, you know, he had that incredible size, the incredible strength, the movement ability, which, you know, for his size is very good. But he was much more raw. His game needed much more refinement. So this was a move that was made. The Jets were really trying to hit the grand slam when they drafted Becton. They passed up the guy who was, I never want to use the word sure thing with the draft pick, because I can't tell you how many times I've seen a can't-miss prospect miss, but I think we all know Becton was higher risk, higher reward. And to this point, it really has not worked out, and really has not worked out because of injury. You know, I thought year one was actually a pretty solid year for Becton. I'm probably higher on Becton than a lot of people are, because I've thought year one in context was pretty impressive. It was not a perfect year, but it was a year where he looked like he belonged at left tackle. And to be honest with you, heading into 2020, I was kind of nervous about that. But you look at some of the matchups he had, he held his own against some very impressive edge rushers that year. Now, of course, year two came, and it began on a very negative note, because there were reports out of training camp all summer about how Carl Lawson was beating him, when I always felt like that was leading to some concern about Becton that was not necessarily merited. You know, first of all, these are reports out of training camp. Who knows? You know, who knows the validity of this stuff? But second, beyond that, these aren't real games. And third, Lawson's the type of pass rusher that's going to give a guy like Becton problems anyway. So there was kind of some panic over Becton's performance in training camp, which I thought was kind of unmerited. Then he suffered the injury week one against Carolina. It was actually on the play where Zach Wilson recorded his first touchdown pass in the NFL. It was a nice play by Zach, but Becton got injured. Then the Jets, for whatever reason, it kind of feels like they gave us bad information on Becton. Like, this was a really serious injury he was trying to come back from, and the Jets made it sound like he'd only miss, like, half the season. So when he missed the full season, you know, people start to wonder what's going on here. And it's not, you know, I tend to think it's not really anything Becton could do. Injuries happen, especially on the offensive line. That's just the way it is. But, you know, entering year three, Becton's got to stay on the field this year. And this is one of the things that's difficult about judging players. Because, first of all, injuries do happen. It's a very physical game, especially on the offensive line. I mean, the offensive line's a spot where injuries happen nonstop. And you can't really blame a player for getting hurt. I mean, again, injuries happen. So, but, you know, there's an old saying, the best ability in football is availability. And Becton, you know, he had some injuries his rookie year. Missed his entire year, too. I'm not saying this is his fault, but to be a useful player, you have to be able to stay on the field. And there are some players who seem to be more prone to injuries than others. I feel like if Becton's on the field, he's going to play well for the Jets. And now maybe at right tackle. You know, it sounds like the Jets are kind of moving in that direction. It sounds like the coaching staff really loves George Fant. So Becton could be moving over to the right side of the line. He could probably handle that pretty well. You know, what's funny is there's this perception in the league that, you know, you need, you know, it's pass protections at a premium on the left tackle, at the left tackle position, which is actually true, because you're blocking the guy, the pass rusher, your quarterback cannot see. So you do need a pass protector at left tackle. But you also have right tackle, in some ways, in today's NFL, might be a more difficult position as a pass protector, because there's always, you know, teams adjust. Because for decades, teams have put their best pass-protecting offensive lineman at left tackle. Now what's happened through the years is defensive coordinators have put their best pass rusher against the right tackle because they say, well, that's the weaker matchup. So sometimes at right tackle in today's NFL, you face more difficult pass-rushing matchups than you did at left tackle. And I think that right tackle has still become a premium position. I think it's a position I would not hesitate to invest a lot of resources in for that reason, because that's a spot where bad play can destroy you. So even if Becton moves from the left side to the right side, I do think the left side's a little bit more important because your quarterback doesn't have the line of vision to see the guy who's rushing from that side, whereas if you have a right-handed quarterback, he's at least going to be able to see a little bit better the pass rusher who's lining up against the right tackle, but the matchups might be more difficult for the right tackle. So for Becton, Becton can still play a big role on this team. He's still a very important player for this Jets team, because he's the type of guy who, you know, if he can stay healthy, first of all, next to Elijah Vera Tucker, that could be a tremendous run blocking right side of the line. And you also have Connor McGovern, who's a good run blocker. You have Laken Tomlinson, you just got, who's a good run blocker. This Jets offensive line has four of the five players are very good run blockers. And you also have a very good, what projects to be a very good running back duo in Breece Hall and Michael Carter, with Tevin Coleman backing them up. So you have the type of right side of your line that, you know, has some power, that can push people around. But in Becton, you have a guy who the Jets did believe could play left tackle a few years ago, and their jury was out on that, although I think he acquitted himself pretty well in 2020. But you have a guy with potential left tackle skills you can play at right tackle, and I think that could be a type of thing that could really move things forward for the Jets if he can stay healthy. So, I mean, really for Becton, the question is about health. And, you know, at the end of the day, as disappointing as this draft class has looked so far, your first-round pick is always your most important player. If you get a plus player from your first-round pick, you can't really say that draft class is a failure. Now, it may not be a great draft class. You know, if you only hit on the first-round pick, you're not going to look back at it and say it's a great draft class, but you're going to avoid the scenario where you say this draft class is a complete and utter failure, where there's nothing you can take from it. Because at the end of the day, typically your first-round pick's your best player. That's why he goes in the first round. If you hit on that, typically for a first-round pick who hits really helps your team out. So Becton could be the guy. I mean, I think this draft class, it's probably not going to ever look like a great draft class. It's not going to be the draft class Joe Douglas looks back on and says, that was my best work, because there were lots of misses in between. But if you hit on Becton, if Becton stays healthy and Becton gives you 17 solid games at the right tackle position, he's going to help the team a lot, and you're going to feel better about this draft class. Now, ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we're going to talk about plenty of players who have disappointed, perhaps none more than the wide receiver the Jets drafted in the second round. What can the team hope from Denzel Mims in 2022? I'll tell you what I think as we continue on this Friday Locked On Jets episode. Of course it is the NFL offseason, but believe it or not, you can bet on NFL futures. If you think Joe Douglas did a great job this offseason, BetOnline is providing you great odds for the Jets. You have a chance to make some good money. And BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info, not just NFL. You can find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and the Stanley Cup playoffs for you Rangers fans. You know, if you think the Rangers are going to win and you want to, first of all, enjoy a victory and make some money, BetOnline is your spot. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to esports to playoffs and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Friday. The show is free and available on all platforms, and I thank you for making the show your first listen or first watch every day. Today we are talking about the draft class of 2020, a class that has frankly been pretty disappointing for the New York Jets so far. 2 years into these players' careers, there really have not been many standouts, and there have been plenty of disappointments. And perhaps no player has been more disappointing than Denzel Mims, because almost universally, when the Jets got him in at the end of the second round in 2020, there was a feeling that the Jets got a steal. I felt that way. Denzel Mims was a guy I really wanted, who I figured was going in the first round that year. And not only did the Jets get him, the Jets were actually able to trade down and still get him. It was a very exciting time. And Mims's rookie season began not so great, because he suffered multiple hamstring injuries in training camp. Really didn't play till like the middle of his first season. The second half of his first season, there were some flat. It wasn't spectacular, but there were some flashes. There were some really nice catches, some contested catch situations where he made highlight reel grabs. Got you hopeful, I think. It got me hopeful. And then came the 2021 season, which was a catastrophe. And you had the hints. He had the hints during the offseason program where he was not working with the starting receivers. That was a surprise. I think heading into last year, the question was Mims a number one receiver or is he a number two receiver? Well, as it turns out, really neither. There was talk in the offseason about how, you know, he had food poisoning in the offseason. But, you know, we got to the end of the year. Things progressed. He wasn't playing even after the Jets had injuries. He was buried deep on the depth chart. And, you know, we've gotten to a point now where you have to wonder whether he's going to be on the roster this year, because he showed nothing. I mean, dropped passes, couldn't get lined up correctly. I mean, he looked like a guy who did not even belong in the NFL. You know, following in the proud Jets tradition, it's been more at the tight end position, but of the last decade, I can name two guys, Jason Morrow, Chris Herndon, who were on the same trajectory where they had the tight ends, not wide receivers, but they had like rookie seasons that seemed promising. And then it just all fell apart for them. Like, they looked like they couldn't play anymore. That's what it reminded me of last year with Denzel Mims. And the thing is, like, his rookie season was, you know, if there's a continued trajectory upward, then you could say the rookie season was promising. But when you follow up that rookie season with the type of year two Mims had, it really doesn't. The rookie season looks far less impressive. You know, posting 350 or so yards, that's not that. Even though he missed a ton of games, that's not as impressive when you follow it up with year two. And you look at his trajectory right now, I have serious doubts about Denzel Mims going forward. In fact, you know, I was trying to find some source of positivity for Denzel Mims. So I looked back 10 years. I found every receiver in the NFL drafted in the first two rounds who posted less than 600 receiving yards combined in years one and year two. And these are the players: Stephen Hill, Jonathan Baldwin, our old buddy Breshad Perryman, Dante Pettis, Josh Doctson, Aaron Dobson, Brian Quick, KJ Hamler, N'Keal Harry, Andy Isabella, Ryan Broyles, Paul Richardson, JJ Arcega-Whiteside, Laquon Treadwell, John Ross, Paris Campbell, Kevin White, Devin Smith, AJ Jenkins, and Cody Latimer. That's not a great group to be in. And you can make excuses, because, you know, you can say, well, Mims was hurt part of his rookie season. Well, there are guys who are hurt on this list. You know, Devin Smith, a guy with the Jets, he was hurt a good chunk of his first two seasons. Hurt a good chunk of his careers. Kevin White, first round pick from Chicago, his career was destroyed by injuries. It doesn't, you know, and that's the thing, is like, you can make excuses. Every single time a player gets off to a struggle, you make excuses for him. And you, when you make these comparisons, you say, well, Mims is different than all these guys because, you know, he had those injuries at the beginning of his rookie season and he had the new system. Well, the thing is, the reason these comparisons work is that every single player has their own individual story. There's something different about every player on this list. The thing that they have in common is the lack of production. That's the one common thread. So the question is a lack of production your first 2 years a signal that you're in some trouble? And I think if you look at the company MIMS has kept so far, the answer is yes, because it doesn't matter how you got to that lack of production. Everybody has their own unique path. The lack of production, though, is the common thread. And it's very difficult to recover from. Again, these are guys who were drafted in the first two rounds. And the reason you pick the guys, the reason I settled with the first two rounds is that, you know, guy in round five or round six who develops may not get the opportunities right off the bat. Because if you're a first or a second round pick, your team's immediately going to throw you in the lineup. Your team's going to look for an excuse to not play you. Whereas if you're like a later round pick, I would be more inclined to believe you had time to develop, because you have to earn your way on the field as a late round pick. The team's inclined to not play you unless you prove you belong on the field as a late round pick. So not great company for Denzel Mims. And I think, look, sometimes you have to see what the team's not saying. Sometimes you have to listen to what the team's not saying. What did the team not say with Denzel Mims? Well, they drafted Garrett Wilson in the first round. That's not a move you make if you're confident in Denzel Mims' bounce back ability this year. You don't draft a receiver 10th overall if you think Denzel Mims is bouncing back. So really, Denzel Mims is going to begin the year as a backup at best. And really, the only opportunity he's going to have is if the Jets have injuries. So really, all you can hope for Denzel Mims is that he stays ready. He stays prepared. You know, last summer, when he was kind of, you know, when he was kind of struggling with the coaching staff, he did volunteer to play special teams in the preseason. Maybe that's the type of thing that can keep him on the roster, give him another shot to contribute. I just don't see it in him. I mean, he looked like a guy who just didn't have the skills to make it in the NFL last year. You know, maybe he bounces back. I see all these people saying, well, Mims is going to be motivated this year. Well, there was every reason to believe Mims would be motivated last year. You know, we're just guessing now, but the lack of production kind of says it all. So, you know, I think the best hope for Mims is that he stays healthy, and if he gets an opportunity, he makes the most of it. But he's one of those guys at this point where things are kind of out of his control. He no longer controls his own destiny because of how poor his performance has been to date. And, you know, I wish I could say more positive things because I loved the pick when it was made, but I think you have to say at this point, the odds are very much against Denzel Mims ever contributing to this team. Now, the Jets made a pair of third-round picks in 2020, and they've both been not very good. You have Jabari Zuniga, who... I look at this third and fourth round, and I even at the time I really did not understand what Joe Douglas was doing with these picks, because he had two in the third, three in the fourth, and this is a real opportunity. I mean, this could be a real value portion of the draft, round three, round four, if you have multiple picks. And I even at the time I really hated what Joe Douglas was doing, to be honest with you. You had Jabari Zuniga, who the Jets drafted in round three. You know, was essentially a It was a pure projection. He didn't really have the pass rushing skills. He kind of had like the raw physical tools needed. And to this point, he had a sack against the Bengals in that upset victory. That was like the one shining moment of Jabari Zuniga's career to date. Aside from that, you've seen nothing. And in fact, he got called off from the practice squad in that game. He did not make the Jets' initial roster last year out of training camp, which is not a good thing for if you're a third round pick entering year two. That shows you, I mean, if a team that's cutting a third-round pick entering year two, you don't do that unless the guy's really shown you nothing. So he ended up on the practice squad for a good chunk of last season and did get called out again. Did have that sack against the Bengals. He has that. But I kind of feel like for Zuniga, time's running out. And I think the Jets drafted his replacement in Michael Clemens. Michael Clemens is going to be the guy the Jets look to for depth, kind of the mid-round pick they're trying to develop for depth. So Jabari Zuniga's got to make the team. I don't think Jabari Zuniga has starter upside. I think at best he's a rotational player. I think the best hope for him is that he makes the team. He shows enough improvement to make the team, slides into like a rotational pass rushing role, and maybe contributes a little bit there. Maybe he takes over Bryce Huff's role. Maybe he beats Bryce Huff out. That's really the ceiling I have for Jabari Zuniga. But it's going to be tough because Jets are kind of loaded at the defensive end position with Carl Lawson, Jermaine Johnson, just drafted Michael Clemens. You've got Jacob Martin in the mix. You've got Vinnie Curry. You've got Bryce Huff. It's a tough road for Jabari Zuniga to make this team. And then the other third round pick is Ashton Davis, who has quickly become one of my least favorite players because of how many times the Jets have a big play go against them, and Ashton Davis is the culprit. I have no hope at Ashton Davis being a starter. To me, the best hope is that he turns into like a decent special teamer, and I don't even know if I believe that because he's not a good tackler. You know, he takes horrible angles, but I don't think he's got starter potential. I think he's a guy who, at best, is probably a backup or a special teamer. So that's how I view the Jets' day two picks. Jets did make a number of picks on day three, including probably the most promising player to date. However, that player is heading to the bench. I'll tell you more about what I think about Bryce Hall and the rest of the Jets' day three picks from 2020 as we continue on this Friday episode of Locked On Jets. Of course, we're heading into the weekend, and I'm sure you want a delicious treat. May I suggest Built Bar's Brownie Batter Puffs. I love brownie, and you know what I love more? Brownie batter. And if you love brownie batter too, you're in luck, because Built has a new creation, and this one's better than ever, the Brownie Batter Puff. You heard that right. This puff takes protein bars to a whole new level. They're available right now on Built.com. With 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar, Brownie Batter Puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. And all Built Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Go to Built.com to get Brownie Batter Puffs now. And while you're there, use promo code LOCK15 at checkout with either Brownie Batter Puffs or any other type of Built bar. If you do that, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15. It's one word with no space, LOCKED, number 5, for 15% off at Built, BUILT.com. You know, so far, the Jets have to be disappointed with what their 2020 draft class has produced. And I'm sure if you're a business owner, you were also disappointed with energy costs this winter. No business owner wants to deal with the hassle of energy decisions. You just want your business to run smoothly and pay a fair rate for power. But coming off the back of that high-priced winter, if your business was on a purely variable or market rate, you paid out the nose. And many New York business owners switched suppliers out of frustration. However, unless they chose alternative pricing options, they're still at risk for a January repeat. Catalyst Power partners with you or your trusted energy consultant to produce a power supply plan that fits your business and your market risk tolerance. They have a suite of options customizable for your business's needs, including options that bundle with or focus on renewable energy. And right now in New York, they're offering an on-site solar solution for your business that requires zero installation, maintenance, or material purchase cost. That's right, no CapEx costs for you. And to sweeten the deal, qualified businesses could be eligible for up to 6 months of at-cost energy supply from Catalyst Power. So go to catalystpower.com/lockedonjets and you'll learn more. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Friday. We are talking about the 2020 draft class, what the Jets can hope to get from the players they drafted 2 years ago, a class that's been very disappointing to date. The Jets had 3 fourth-round picks. The first of these picks was LaMichael Perine. And I got to be honest with you, and I do a Daily Jets podcast, I actually had to look up whether LaMichael Perine was still on the Jets roster, because I forgot like whether they cut him or not during the offseason. They did not. But I wasn't entirely sure he was still on the roster, which kind of shows you where things are going. I said this when they drafted him. Like, this was a pick. I did not get this pick at all, because there was nothing that wowed me about his game. There's nothing that really stood out to me about his game that was excellent. You look at this Jets roster, I don't see where he gets the carries. I really don't. I mean, I'm trying to find the best case scenario for these players. I think LaMichael Perine's best case scenario for if he wants to be on the Jets is the practice squad, because you've got Breece Hall now, and you got Michael Carter. You got Tevin Coleman as like your veteran guy who can step in if you need someone to pass protect. Where's LaMichael Perine going? I don't see it. And even if if there's an injury that could change things, but like, unlike with Denzel Mims, like Denzel Mims, I give like maybe like a small chance to produce. Like, I don't see the skill set in LaMichael Perine that makes him a good fit for really any offense. I think he's just a run-of-the-mill back. So I got to say, like, I don't see a ton of upside here. I think the best case scenario from LaMichael Perine's practice squad, and maybe gets on the roster or the bench role or something like that if somebody gets hurt. I don't see any upside here. Beyond that, the two other fourth-round picks, one was Cameron Clark, who unfortunately had to retire due to a serious injury, so that was just unfortunate. The other fourth-round pick was James Morgan. Again, I have to reiterate, this third and fourth round was like missing in Mims in the second round, you know, that's one thing. Like, I understood why they took Mims. I don't understand what the Jets were doing in the fourth round. I feel like Joe Douglas just fell in love with like a guy with a big arm, and I remember like watching James Morgan's video after the draft, and I was like, I don't know how this guy's getting drafted. Like, he can't throw an accurate football. He has no touch on his passes. It feels like Joe Douglas just fell in love with like his big size and his big arm, and he just ignored the stuff that matters at the quarterback position. I don't understand. James Morgan's no longer here. They cut him last summer. They brought him back. He actually was briefly back on the practice squad at some point last year. After they cut him, he went to the Carolina practice squad, but then he came back to the Jets briefly, but now he's with the Colts organization, so James Morgan's gone. Now let's talk about the guy who's been the most successful of the 2020 draft picks, and that's Bryce Hall. Bryce Hall was a good starter last year. And I remember at the time, and this was the funny thing, the Jets drafted Bryce Hall in the fifth round, and I was like, I like our fifth round pick better than I like our fourth round pick, and I like our fifth round pick better than I like our third round pick. Bryce Hall was a guy who was viewed as a steal. He was viewed as a day two talent who fell because in 2020, you know, there were no team visits because of the pandemic, and he was coming off a serious injury. Got some action near the end of the 2020 season, and it was up and down, had some pretty bad moments, also had some decent moments. Came back last year and was a really solid corner for the Jets. And through really no fault of his own, he's lost his job because the Jets, first of all, found a guy who seems like a good value in free agency in DJ Reed. And they happened to be sitting there at four and Sauce Gardner was available. And so they essentially found they had to get one corner. So they got DJ Reed in free agency. But then at four, they love Sauce Gardner. So they said, we're going to take him. And Bryce Hall now goes to the bench. And it's not the end of the world. I've said this frequently. Jets fans seem very upset about Bryce Hall heading to the bench. It's good to have a good backup. So really for Bryce Hall, you want him to just, if he's called upon, keep doing what you're doing. And the Jets have good depth at a very important position. Tough to be upset. I can't be upset with that. I got to be happy with that. Good to have depth. Good to have depth at corner, a position that can lose you games if you have bad players. So Bryce Hall, be the best backup corner in the NFL. And that's what I'm expecting. This is the guy I have the most confidence in this draft class. And then the final pick was Braden Mann, the punter. Just his not off to a good start to his career. And, it's a punter, so it was a late-round pick, so can't get too upset. The only issue is that the Jets, when Mann got hurt last year in the first game, they signed Thomas Morstead, a veteran from the Saints, and Morstead was better than Braden Mann was. Morstead was like a top-10 punter when the Jets had him. With Mann, we want him to get to the upper part of the league. We want him to, essentially, for Braden Mann, it's go time. He's got to punt like Morstead did a year ago. That's what it comes down to. Braden Mann has not been great to this point in his career. Again, you look at last year, you wonder whether the Jets made a mistake letting Morstead go. Well, Braden Mann's got a chance to prove us wrong. Prove me wrong. He's got to get. I'd like to see him become a top 10 punter. The Jets used a draft pick on him. If you use a draft pick on a punter, you want him to be near the top of the league. So it's time for Braden Mann to become a top punter. And this is really. Braden Mann's not going to determine the success or failure of the 2020 draft. This is a very incremental, outcome as far as whether the draft class is a success or failure. Really, a lot of this comes down to Becton, whether it's just the draft class that's not that great or a draft class that's a complete failure. I look back to Becton, and he's really the guy I look to, not so much Braden Mann. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. Leave the show a 5-star review if you like it. And a big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next week to talk more Jets.